welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have Bob Hope, another comedian who made the jump from vaudeville to radio in the 1930s. I was surprised to find that Hope tried to make it as a professional boxer under the name Packy East in his teens. Well, he did much better in show business. He started his radio show for Pepsodent in 1938 with a theme song from a movie he'd made earlier in 1938, The Big Broadcast of 1938. This week we have two shows from 1941. First, we have a very funny show with guest star, gossip columnist, Hedda Hopper. Enjoy The Pepsodent Show starring Bob Hope. First broadcast April 15th, 1941 on NBC.
Pepsodent Show starring Bob Hope and his guest star, Hedda Hopper.
Happy anniversary, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Happy anniversary, Fibber McGee and Molly.
For a springtime cleaning, throw away your brush and soap, cause here's Bob Hope.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Spring Cleaning Hope telling you to use Pepsodent, and while you're making your house spick and span, you won't hear a bridge click in your pan. Or, this is Bob Spring Cleaning Hope telling you to use Pepsodent because a brush in the hand is better than a vacuum in the puss. Isn't that a wonderful joke? What a joke. I told that joke to Jimmy Roosevelt last week. Now he has to have a nurse steady. Well, this is the time of the year we all start our own spring cleaning now that Morgenthau's through with us. But you should see me doing my spring house cleaning this week. We sure worked hard cleaning the living room. First I rolled the rug back, then I mowed the grass. Found another rug. All year long, you know. All year long, we kept sweeping the dirt under the living room rug. In fact, the rug was so high, to get on it, you had to be the thief of Baghdad. I saw the picture. Yes, sir. Where were you? But I want to tell you, at our house, the dust was so thick, I had to probe for the furniture. There was so much dust around the house, the termites were running around yelling Gesundheit to each other. And our oriental rug needed cleaning. In fact, a gopher had been living in it so long, he had slanted eyes. But we're not worried about the rugs much because we have a good vacuum cleaner, that's Santa Anita on a stick. But we did clean. Today, first thing in the morning, I decided to go up and clean the attic. When I got up there, I came across a bunch of old Esquires in one corner. Tomorrow, first thing in the morning, I'm going to clean the attic. But I really know how to clean house. I took the Venetian blinds down and put them in the electric washer and turned on the switch. Anybody want to buy 38,000 toothpicks? And I hadn't changed the water in the goldfish bowl for 2 years, so I put some clean, fresh water in it. The goldfish swam to the top, took a breath of fresh air, and said, "Gosh, that was a long blackout." And I got a few surprises, too. I opened one closet door, and I saw a man with a long white beard. I said, "What are you doing in there?" He said, "I'm the exterminator." He pointed to a horse in one corner and said, "I came in here 20 years ago to kill that mouse." Nice joke. I know, I rolled that joke on the White House lawn yesterday. I did, yes, I did. But my house is really clean now. My paint started to fade a little, so I repainted the house with Pepsodent. Now I've got the only house in America whose bay window smiles at you. May not be funny, but it's a plug. I got you there. But everybody's cleaning. No kidding. One workman spent 2 days cleaning the windows of Hedy Lamarr's house until she told me she'd call the police. And I had an accident while I was cleaning my house. I poured some glue on the piano stool by mistake. My uncle sat down on it yesterday. So far, he's played I Hear a Rhapsody 3,000 times.
Bob, there's something I'd like to speak to you about.
Why, certainly, William. What is it?
Well, you know, Bob, I've been on your radio program for 3 years now.
And in all that time, we've never had a fight about money.
That's right, Bill.
In fact, you've never even mentioned it.
Wait a minute, William. I don't want you giving the audience the impression that I'm cheap. Just assure you that my heart's in the right place. Take this $1,000 bill.
Oh, gee, thanks, Bob.
And here's another $1,000 bill.
Thanks.
And another $1,000 bill.
Thanks. Boy, will you be in a spot when television comes in?
All right, so they're only $1 bills. Does a little number make so much difference?
Well, yes, Bob, a great deal of difference. For instance, numbers are mighty important when you're buying toothbrushes. The number 50 is the one to remember. For the new Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush gives you more for your money. It's the only toothbrush that gives you twice the usual number of tufts in a small, compact head. Now, it's just simple arithmetic. Double the number of tufts means double the cleansing power. And double the cleansing power means brighter, more sparkling teeth, quicker than ever before.
Well, just take a tip from me, ladies and gentlemen, and get one of those marvelous new Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrushes right away. There's a free gift waiting for you if you buy a new Pepsodent toothbrush now. For just a few days more, Pepsodent is offering you a free 25-cent size of Pepsodent toothpaste or tooth powder, whichever you prefer, with the purchase of every 50 Tough toothbrush at the regular price of 50 cents. But you'll have to act quickly to get this valuable free gift. After a few days, the offer will be withdrawn. So go to your store, tell your salesman you want a Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush, then choose your free gift, either Pepsodent toothpaste or Pepsodent tooth powder in the 25-cent size. All you pay is the regular price of 50 cents for the toothbrush. Now, get yours right away while there's still time.
In a town in Sweden, by a stream so clear and cool, a boy would sit and fish and dream when he should have been in school. He couldn't read or write a word, but happiness he found.
In a little song he heard,
here's how it would sound.
Hutset Rolston on the real row and the brawl up roll us through it. Hutset Rolston on the real row and the brawl us through it. Hutset Rolston on the real row and the brawl us through it. Hutset Rolston on the real row and the brawl us through it.
Now the Rolston is a Swedish town, the real row is a stream. The brawler is the boy and girl, the
Hutset
is their dream.
Hutset Rolston on the real row and the brawler through it. Hutset Rolston on the real row and the brawler through it.
We have heard that all the Swedish guys sing this song to all their sweetie pies.
Hutset Rolston on the real row and the brawler through it. Hutset Rolston on the real row and the brawler through it. Hutset Rolston on the real row and the brawler through it. Hutset Rolston on the real row and the brawler through it. Though the words may sound a little bit silly, they're really not. That's Swedish for love stuff.
Hutset
is red
hot. Hutset Rolston on the real row and the brawler through it. Hutset Rolston on the real row and the brawler through it.
Hutset Rolston, Hutset, Hutset Rolston.
Yes, sir. That was our six hits and a miss in the Yorkshireman Hutset song. The six hits and a miss are now six hits and a misses. Mm-hmm. In a little while, this program will have six hits and misses and a few quiz kids. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pauline and Jerry did it. Las Vegas. Where are we? Let's get into it. And now it is my pleasure to present one of Hollywood's best-known personalities, screen actress, newspaper columnist, radio commentator, and wearer of Hollywood's dizziest hats, Miss Hedda Hopper, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Bob. I love that introduction, wearer of Hollywood's dizziest hats. Of course, my hat is a little tricky, isn't it?
I'll say. I could hardly wait for 7 o'clock to see the cuckoo come out.
Why, Bob, it's my new Easter bonnet.
Really? Does that thing lay an egg, Hubby? If I mean... I wish you wouldn't bring that competition around here. Did you see me? Oh, it's all right. Now, just let him... Did you see me in the Easter parade Sunday morning, Hedda?
Yes, and I really don't think you know how to dress, Bob.
Don't know how... Why? Didn't I look formal?
Well, for one thing, you're not supposed to wear a top hat with bare feet.
Since when? I mean, Oh, it clashes, eh? Well, if you'd taken a good look at me, Hedda, you'd have seen I was wearing top hat, cutaway coat, and striped pants.
Striped pants? Yeah, that was a good idea, drawing black lines in your long underwear.
Why, Hedda, I thought my outfit was a real production. I gave a lot of thought and study to it.
Yes, it was an elaborate suit, Bob, but didn't you overdo it a little bit?
Overdo it?
I mean, having that midget trot along behind you carrying the extra pair of pants.
Well, I gave that midget those pants. He cuts the pockets out and uses them for pillowcases. Hedda, I suppose... That's a long line for nothing. I suppose... What am I doing in there? Hedda, I suppose you spent a whole week figuring out your Easter outfit.
Well, not exactly, Bob. I was busy with my own radio program.
Oh, yes. Hedda Hopper's Hollywood.
Yes, I broadcast for Sunkissed Oranges and Lemons.
Well, I broadcast for Pepsodent Toothpaste.
You know, Bob, we're nothing but a couple of squirts.
Yeah, well... Look, I wonder if Pepsodent toothpaste and Sun-Kissed Oranges have anything in common.
Well, sure they have. To get the best out of them, you have to squeeze them both.
I know a couple of girls like that. Look, I suppose you want to put in a plug for your product, Hedda.
No, Bob. I only want to tell the folks how marvelous Sun-Kissed Oranges are. They're luscious, juicy, big, delectable, and the best California can grow.
All finished?
Yes.
Okay, Florida, tune back in. Are we bragging as though they were ever in? Isn't that marvelous?
Say, Bob, what do you do when you're not busy with radio and pictures?
Well, I like to take a trip to Catalina, lie out on the beach, and admire the pretty girls in their bathing suits.
And Edward G. Robinson thinks he's the sea wolf. And while we're on the subject, I've heard a lot about you and Bill Goodwin standing on the corner of Vine Street.
You hear that, Bill?
Yes, I did, Bob.
And let me tell you something. Only kids would stand on corners and whistle at girls. Only kids would try to flirt with girls. And only kids would try to kiss girls.
Well, meet the men of Boys Town.
That did it, William. That did it.
Well, if you boys can't get girls, before I was a Hollywood columnist, I was an advice to the Lovelorn editor. Maybe I can give you some advice.
No, that wouldn't help, Hedda. I once went to a Lovelorn editor. That was quite a while ago when I was still a shy and bashful boy before I started to use Pepsodent.
Pepsodent. Pepsodent, Pepsodent. All that ever comes out of you is Pepsodent.
Well, shoot the stopper to me, Hopper.
What did you go to see the Lovelorn editor about, Bob? I suppose it was your first love affair.
Yes, it was a sensational affair, Hedda. She was 16 and I was 18.
What made you fall in love with her?
Oh, I guess it was the way she handled a pool cue. No, but we came to the parting of the ways.
What broke up your romance?
Well, her mother didn't like me. She used to see me hanging around the runway in burlesque theaters. It made her nervous when she was dancing. So the next day, there I was, Hedda, at the door of the Advice to the Lovelorn editor.
Come in.
Say, is this the Advice to the Lovelorn?
Goodbye, Miss Hopper.
Goodbye, Mr. Barrymore.
This is it. Say, are you to the Advice to the Lovelorn editor?
Why, yes. Here, let me take your hat and turtle.
Oh, thanks.
Say, you're a country boy, aren't you?
Yes, I'm from the country. How'd you know?
Well, never mind. I'll open the window. You're about the most bashful boy I've ever seen. Say, do you always suck your thumb?
Yep, can't quite reach my big toe anymore.
Well, tell me, what's your problem?
Well, I broke up with my girl, Lulabelle. I ain't been able to sleep ever since. I'm always thinking about her.
Well, perhaps I can help you. Why don't you describe Lulabelle to me?
Well, her face ain't much to look at, but her figure, gee, it's awful. We used to have a lot of fun together, but then I began to suspect she was going with another fella.
Well, what made you think that?
Well, every time I walk into the parlor, she's sitting there necking with him. Gee, I don't understand it. I don't understand why Lulabelle don't love me.
Well, perhaps her family objected. What do her folks think of you?
Well, her mother's away in an army camp.
Her mother's in an army camp?
Yeah, she always insisted on wearing the pants in the family, and this time she got drafted.
Well, perhaps you're not romantic enough. Tell me, when the lights are low and there's soft music playing and you two are all alone in the room and all is still, what do you do?
I eat peanuts.
Why?
Well, I ain't the type to sit around and do nothing.
When did you realize that Lulabelle was beginning to slip away from you?
Oh, just the other day. I was holding her in my arms, looking tenderly into her eyes, and then she puckered up her little lips.
Yes, yes.
What a time to blow a spitball.
Well, don't worry about her. You can get plenty of girls. You know, you're kind of cute. Here, let me fix your necktie for you.
Oh, gee, we're standing this close to a woman. It gives me goose pimples all over.
On you, it's an improvement. I sure must
have. You got
some
of that fuzz on your tongue there, you know. That dropped down from that hat. Where are we? Where are we?
You'd think it was a bird's nest.
Can I send that on the road? Go ahead.
Come on, handsome. Sit down here beside me.
Oh, gosh. Do you think it's safe?
Well, certainly. I won't bite you.
Go ahead. I like it.
Now, let me give you a few pointers. Next time you hold Lulabelle in your arms, run your fingers through her hair like I'm running mine through yours.
Oh, shucks. Don't run your fingers through my hair. It keeps reminding me of something.
Well, what's that?
I got to do my spring plowing.
Oh, come on. How about a kiss?
A kiss? What's that?
Don't you know what a kiss is? Well, what does your mother do when your father comes from work and she sees him?
Oh, slugging.
Oh, no. I'll show you what a kiss is. There. How did you like that?
Did we get across Sunset Boulevard all right? Thank you, Hedda Hopper. Hedda will be back with us in a few minutes, folks. Take it.
Oh, sentimental me, poor romantic you, dreaming dreams is all that we can do. We hang around all day and ponder, while both of us grow fonder. The Lord knows where we're wandering to. I sit and sigh, you sigh and sit upon my knee. We laugh and cry and never disagree. A million kisses we'll make theft of, until there's nothing left of poor romantic you and sentimental me. Sit upon my knee. We laugh and cry and never disagree. A million kisses we'll make theft of, until there's nothing left of poor romantic you and sentimental me.
That's Skinny Ennis, ladies and gentlemen. Skinny Ennis and sentimental me. Say, Skinny, congratulations. I hear you're packing them in at the Wilshire Bowl.
Well, thank you, Bob. You know I'm following Phil Harris over there.
That's a switch, someone following Phil Harris. But you know, when I was there the other night, you were dancing with that fat girlfriend of yours, Skin.
Hey, didn't we look swell, Bob?
Yeah, she certainly made a handsome-looking couple.
Well, Bob, I had a lot of trouble dancing. I was wearing a suit made out of that kangaroo cloth.
Well, what's the matter with kangaroo cloth?
Nothing, but every time I take a step, it's two jumps ahead of me.
Well, I heard Art Baker saying that same thing. He said Pepsodent tooth powder was two jumps ahead of the halfway tooth powders.
Well, that's it, Bob. A young lady asked me about that today.
Mr. Baker, what do you mean when you mention halfway tooth powder? Don't most tooth powders clean teeth pretty well?
Yes, they do. Yes, there are a lot of pretty good tooth powders. A lot of them will do some of the things that Pepsodent does. But there isn't a single leading brand that'll give you all the advantages to the high degree of effectiveness that you can get from Pepsodent tooth powder.
Is that because of Irium?
Well, in part, yes. Irium is important because it's a super cleansing agent, not excelled by any that you can name. But cleansing is only half the job. Teeth have to be polished. They have to be buffed to make them lustrous and sparkling and brilliant. And unless a tooth powder makes teeth gleam, it's doing only half a job.
Well, don't other tooth powders polish, too?
Well, not the way Pepsodent does. Pepsodent is the outstanding champion in this department because Pepsodent, and only Pepsodent, contains composite metaphosphate, the remarkably safe, effective polishing ingredient. Pepsodent developed it. Pepsodent patented it. And it's so effective that several independent testing laboratories have all reached the same basic conclusion, namely, Pepsodent tooth powder has the power to produce 32% greater luster on teeth than the next best leading tooth powder, actually twice as bright as the average of all other brands. Now, that's why Pepsodent can do things no ordinary tooth powder will do. That's why your teeth will feel smoother and look brighter, at least 32% brighter than ever before.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. No more halfway tooth powders for me. From now on, I'm saying Pepsodent tooth powder, please.
Lazy little Daisy at the gate beside a garden wall. Wake up.
And now Bob Hope presents his version of Lazy Little Daisy. As our scene opens, we find Bob and yours truly running the new Bob Hope Ladies Dress and Hat Shoppy.
Oh, say, Bill.
Yes, Bob.
Well, here I am running my own women's dress shop. This will show Paramount I can handle the skirts.
Say, you know, Bob, this store is all right, but you ought to get some more dresses made out of tweed.
Made out of what?
Tweed. Tweed. Tweed.
How are you in wild animal calls? I'd like to call my agent. Where are we?
Hey. What's that going by the front door so fast?
That's Mrs. Roosevelt going to Jimmy's wedding. She's back already.
Woo! Say, Bob, you know the wax dummy in front of the store? Well, Hedy Lamarr just walked by it.
Hedy Lamarr just walked by the wax dummy?
Yeah.
Well, what do you know? Candles. Say, I meant to ask you, Bill, what about the hats I designed this morning? How are they selling?
Oh, fine, Bob. This afternoon, Humphrey Bogart got his first look at the hat we made for his wife.
I wonder how long he'll stay up in the hills this time. Hello, Hope's Dress and Hat Shop, Hollywood Patterns exclusively.
Hello, Chief. This is your assistant, Professor Colonna. Expert buyer, salesman, designer and cutter, also telephone slugs, 3 for a nickel.
Never mind that, Professor. Are you selling any dresses?
Yes, boss. I am now measuring Venus de Milo for a dress.
Venus de Milo?
Yes. How can her old man let her run around like that? Now, stand still a minute, Venus, while I take your measurements. Length, 52. Waist, 18. Arms. Come, get them out of your pockets, kid.
Don't you know Venus has no arms?
No arms? Very interesting. Very interesting. Come here, Veen.
Oh, take that.
We learn something new every day, don't we?
Say, Bob, excuse me, but that construction company called before, and they said that their order was a mistake. They wanted to buy some girders, not girdles.
Well, gosh, Bill, how did they find out their mistake?
Well, every time the wind blows, the 10th story does a 2-way stretch. You know, Bob, I've been thinking we should have a big sale.
All right, hand me the matches. Howard, hand them to me.
Not again. We're still smoking from yesterday. Well, I meant to tell you, Bob, the truck just brought in a new shipment of lingerie, and there seems to be a piece missing.
One piece missing? How could that be?
Well, I don't know, but that's the first time I ever saw a truck driver wearing lace panties.
Bill, those weren't lace panties. The union makes them sit on a doily. Hello?
Hello, Hope. This is Colonna, the big buyer, seller, exchanger. Also room for rent in rear. No children. Now, listen, boss. I'm down here at the silk factory getting some silk. Tell me, Hope, when silkworms spin a cocoon, they're supposed to spin it around themselves, aren't they?
That's right. Silkworms always spin their cocoons around themselves.
See, fellas? Now let me out of here.
Professor Colonna, you can't make me believe you're in a cocoon. I just saw you going out to the park.
Well, that's right, Hope. I'm out here at the park getting some furs. There's a little animal running around in the bushes.
Well, grab it, Colonna. It's a chipmunk.
Oh, no, Hope. I think it's a skunk.
No, it isn't. Grab it. It's a chipmunk.
Okay. Here, pussy. Wow!
What's the matter, Colonna?
If that's a chipmunk, it's got a wonderful defense program.
Colonna, this is the last straw.
Oh, well, you use it. I'll drink from the bottle.
Say, Bill.
Yeah?
Tell me, how's business doing here?
Bob, I'm a little worried. That queer contraption over there, is that a lady's hat or a malted milk machine?
Where? Oh, I don't know. I'll go. I'll see. I wonder what happens if I touch this. It's a hat. Must be one of Hopper's. Say, Bill, business ought to pick up in this dress shop since we hired those two new models to show off our dresses. Look, here they are over there. Let's eavesdrop something on them.
Say, Brenda, what is it, Covina?
This is wonderful, us getting jobs here as models.
Yeah. Gee, I hope my figure's all right for modeling. Covina, honestly, now, do you think I'm getting middle-aged spread?
Spread? I'd say it was more of a migration.
Covina, turn around. Let me look at you. Oh, you got a shape like Landis.
Carol Landis?
No, Judge.
Oh, yeah, I've got a nice shape. Now, really, don't you think I have an hourglass figure?
Yeah, but it's about 45 minutes late.
Listen, Smarty, you can't talk to me that way. My face has been on many a cover.
Magazine or manhole?
Listen, Brenda, I didn't like that crack. You've been acting awful snooty since the Gophers voted you Miss Buckteeth of 1941.
Oh, you know, last night I dreamed that Clark Gable was chasing me all night. Oh, what a nightmare.
Clark Gable's chasing you, and you call that a nightmare?
Sure, he couldn't catch me.
Say, I was out with a fellow last night who appreciated me. And he admired my figure. Oh, gee, you should have heard the way he admired my figure. And then he popped the question.
He popped the question?
Yeah. But why should I fight Joe Louis?
Let's tend to business, Kobe. Do you like my new garters?
Yeah, I love your new garters. And they sure hold your knees up.
I'm laughing. What a smart gag.
Well, what do you expect me to make up on the spur of the moment? After all, I'm not George Bernard Shaw. Well?
Let me see your driver's license.
Pretend like you're working here. Here comes the boss.
Oh, hello, girl.
Oh, hello, Bobsy. We were just modeling some of your new dresses. Don't I look attractive in this dress? Ooh, I bet I'll attract men like flies.
Yes, but you'll attract twice as many flies. Yes, you will. Say, come on, let's get the store in order. I'm expecting Hedda Hopper. I'll call my assistant. Oh, Colonna.
Coming.
Loose eyeballs.
Stop acting foolish. Colonna, you get under my skin.
Why should I? I've got nothing to hide.
Shh, here comes Hedda now.
Hello, Bob. Nice shop you have here.
Oh, Hedda, this is Brendan Covina, the only two of their kind in the world.
Really? I thought Adam had four sons.
Well, getting on with the introductions. Professor Colonna, this is Hedda Hopper.
Come again?
This is Hedda Hopper. Hopper.
Jitterbug, eh?
Be nice to her, Professor. Miss Hopper is syndicated.
Must have been a neat job. The scar doesn't show.
Say, Hedda, tell me, what do you think you can do for Brendan Covina? They want to attract men. Can you improve their looks?
Well, Bob, looks don't matter so much when it comes to attracting a man. It's the approach that counts. Do you girls approach a man with savoir faire?
No, we sneak up behind him with chloroform.
No, what Hedda means is that when you meet a man, you should play hard to get.
That's right. Now, here comes a man through that doorway. I want you to act with dignity and charm. Now, walk toward him casually. One, two, three, go!
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back at the same time. And with us as our guest will be Lola Lane, the same gang and...
Bob Hope.
Thank you, Bill Goodman. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
This is Bill Goodman speaking for Pepsodent. It's the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have another entertaining Bob Hope show with Humphrey Bogart as guest star. Throughout his career, Bob Hope depended on talented joke writers to keep his material fresh. The prison drama spoof with Humphrey Bogart will make you smile. Enjoy The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope, first broadcast June 3rd, 1941 on NBC.
The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope and his guest, Humphrey Bogart.
Here we are, it's June, folks. Time for Moon and Spoon, folks. And a laugh with all the staff and our Bob Hope.
Thank you. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, June Bride's Hope, telling you girls that even if you don't get flowers from your feller, if you use Pepsodent, you'll always have white lilies under your smeller. Well, yes, sir, here we are back in Hollywood. Last week, we did our show from Camp San Luis Obispo for the 40th Division, and what a time we had. And from the way those soldiers greeted me, believe me, folks, America's ready. They gave me a souvenir when I left. I'd show it to you, but only it's too soon to take the bandages off. Dorothy L'Amour went up to the Army camp with me, and you should have seen Dorothy with those 7,000 men. You should have seen her. I didn't. Dorothy left one of her sarongs up there as a souvenir. I don't know who got it, but that ain't a pup tent the general's sleeping under. Of course, romance is in the air at this time of the year. You can tell June is here. All the girls in Hollywood are sending out their trousseaus to be cleaned and pressed. Again. And everybody's a... That was a sneaky little word, wasn't it? And everybody's getting married. I saw a car driving up the street with a pair of shoes sticking out behind it. I said to the driver, wedding? He said, no, pedestrian. I went to a wedding the other day. It was a typical Hollywood wedding. The bride looked beautiful. She was wearing a long white veil. So long, you could hardly see her slacks. It was a beautiful thing. And the groom was so nervous, his beret fell off. The bride was one of those Hollywood glamour girls. She cut the wedding cake with her fingernails. And the groom was a musician. What a romance they had. He met her during a hot break in the Hutsut song. Hutsut, and what a wedding. What a wedding. The bride was carrying four roses, rather well. And... And the bride's mother and father walked down the aisle with her. It's just like a convoy. It's a pleasure to protect the merchandise. Just the same, you're awfully happy to get rid of it. But it was a lovely spectacle. Two little girls ran in front of the bride, unrolling the red carpet. When they got it all unrolled, there was a groom. But romance is everywhere this month. I went down the beach the other day. The ocean was beautiful. All morning, the surf was glistening with foamy white caps. Then Cecil B. DeMille took his box of Lux and went home. And what a crowd at the beach. A lot of people, you know, change into their bathing suits in their cars. And I think it's disgusting when it's so much easier in the bus. And gee, the new bathing suits the girls are wearing. Aren't they? Boy, what girls. What strapless bathing suits. What confidence. A lot of beautiful girls were there swimming, but Betty Grable beat them all to the raft. And you should see Skinny Ennis in the bathing suit. You know the picture on those ads that say before and after? Skinny looks like the one that says not yet. Skinny was wearing a nice white bathing suit. Later on, we found out it was a piece of spaghetti with armholes. But I want to tell you, Skinny can dive. He did a beautiful swan dive with his arms stretched out, but he got nervous when he started to gain altitude. Say, Bill Goodwin, come here.
Yes, Bob. Say, gee, we had a swell time at the beach this weekend, didn't we?
Yeah, and I thought I was dressed exceptionally well for the beach. Why, when I walked out and took off my robe, did you see everybody crowd around me?
Well, after all, Bob, ermine's short. But there certainly were a bunch of pretty girls on that beach.
Yeah, Bill, and the way you stared at them, you should have seen how far your eyes popped out.
Well, maybe they popped out a little.
A little. Bill, one of your bags turned under your... I'll be back. Wait. To pop mine out a little here.
I guess maybe my eyes did pop out a little bit.
Thank you for the feed. A little, Bill. Bill, one of the bags under your eyes turned to the other and said, "We'd better get packed. It looks like they're leaving for the weekend."
Bob, I'm sorry to say this, but, you know, I don't like going to the beach with you. You're too much of an exhibitionist, pretending you were drowning.
Bill, I wasn't pretending. I was really drowning.
Well, all right, but you didn't have to yell, "Help, help, see the road to Zanzibar, help."
Hey, Bill, did you see Skinny Ennis lying on the beach?
Yes, I did. And lying on the beach that way, Skinny looked like a picture.
Yeah, no blood and sand. I want to tell you, there's one man in this program that knows all about swimming, Professor Colonna. Oh, Professor.
Coming.
Sneakers.
That did it. Professor, on second thought, I don't see why I should ask you to give our listeners health and swimming hints. You don't seem to have much of a physique.
Now, hold on there, Hope. You can't speak about my physique like that. Did you ever see me in a bathing suit?
Yes, I've seen you in a bathing suit.
Roly-poly, son of a gun, ain't I?
Well, tell me, Professor, when you get into the water, can you swim far?
No, after I swim a few feet, the faucet hits me in the head.
You have gum trouble tonight yourself, huh? Well, have you ever been in over your head, Colonna?
Yes.
What happened?
The Bank of America gave me an extension. Now, just to show you what a great swimmer I am, I'll climb up this 50-foot pole for my famous dive.
Here I am. But, Professor, what are you going to dive into?
Into that cup of coffee.
You mean you're going to dive 50 feet into a cup of coffee?
Yes, sir. Here goes. What do you know? No cream.
Look, Colonna. Colonna, why don't you take a powder?
I will if it's Pepsodent. Here's a kid that'll be working next year.
Yes, sir, and Pepsodent tooth powder will be working next year and for years to come to make your teeth brighter. Listen to this.
Pepsodent tooth powder has the power to produce a luster on teeth twice as bright as the average of all other leading brands.
Now, there's a statement that means something. Because it has the backing of several important and authoritative testing laboratories which conducted tests on all the leading tooth powders. After they finished testing, they all agreed to that statement. It's your proof that Pepsodent tooth powder is the one for you. Well, that is, if you really want your teeth to sparkle and gleam as they never did before.
Right you are, Bill, right. For Pepsodent with patented composite metaphosphate can make your smile twice as bright, twice as effective when you turn it on. So, friends, if you're hiding a dull, tight-lipped smile, here's the way to get straightened out. Go to your store now. It's not too late tonight. Go right up to that man and say, "I want that tooth powder that beats the others by a mile. I'm fixing up a bright new smile. Give me a package of that high-polished Pepsodent tooth powder, please."
People all over been asking us this. How about a number that beats you the
miss? Ooh, old rocking chair's got me. Cane by my side. Hand me that shawl, son. For I tan your hide. Can't get from this cabin. Ain't going nowhere. Just sitting here grabbing at the flies round my rocking chair. Ooh, dear old Aunt Helen. rocket. Oh, rocking chair's got me. Judgment Day is near. Chained to my rocking chair.
Keep on rocking, rocking, rocking. Keep rocking, Miss Polly.
That was our six hits in a minute, singing Old Rocking Chair, Where I Belong. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce a very fine actor and the toughest guy on the screen, recently seen in Warner Brothers' High Sierra and The Wagons Roll at Night, Humphrey Bogart.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
I'm glad to see you get down off that mountain all right, Humphrey.
Just a minute, Hope. My pals call me Bogey. What do the fellas on this program call you?
There must be some way to answer that and still stay on the air. Oh, pardon me if I'm a little nervous around you, Humphrey. You're so tough. You know, when you walk down the street, the people run into their houses.
Yeah, and then you come on the air and they run right out again.
Just a minute, Bogart. You can't talk to me that way.
What's that? What'd you say?
I don't know. I wasn't listening. But I'm warning you, Humphrey, don't fool around with me.
Why? Do you carry a gun?
You see this hip?
Yeah. What about it?
Bulges, doesn't it? Wait a minute. Don't reach for your rod.
I was just kidding, Bob. All I got in my pocket is a handkerchief.
I still think it's a gun.
No, it's a handkerchief. Watch. I'll use it. Bad cold.
Say, huh? You know, 2 weeks ago, we had your co-worker, Priscilla Lane, on this program. She just finished a new picture at Warner Brothers, $500,000 Baby.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Bob. Not a half a million. The name of the picture is Million Dollar Baby.
You mean it was before the tax. Say, tell me... Tell me, Bogey, what picture did you just make over there?
I made a picture called The Wagons Roll at Night.
Oh, you mean like Crosby's Horses? But you're so... Oh, that old killer in this. Oh, for that Norman, anything. But you're so tough in your pictures. Tell me, Humphrey, were you always a mug?
Oh, no, I was the nicest boy in my neighborhood. I always went to school dressed in my cute little Lord Fauntleroy suit, and when I walked down the street, all the neighbors would point at me and say, "There's a little rat who blew up the pool room."
Say, I was a tough kid, too. In school, I used to make spitballs and throw them all around the room.
No, you did? You did? Me, too. It only took me a half an hour to make a spitball.
Well, I could make one in a minute.
You mean you didn't wait for the cement to harden?
Humphrey, you're just a mug at heart. You're the kind of guy who would put a mustache in the Mona Lisa.
Oh, no, no, not me. If he can't raise his own, I'm not going to help him.
Well, I've watched you a lot in pictures, Humphrey. Tell me, doesn't it make your flesh crawl when you stand there pumping bullets into guys, sticking knives in a guy's back, putting guys in wet cement and tossing them in the river?
Oh, no, don't bother me at all. I go right home and sleep like a log if a fuse don't blow.
If a fuse don't blow?
Well, good gracious, you didn't expect me to sleep with the light out. You know, Bob, everybody thinks I'm tough, but I'm not really tough at all. In the evenings, I like to get out in my rock garden.
You've got a rock garden?
Yeah, sure I have. I get the seeds from the government.
Say, my brother's in a rock garden under government supervision, too.
Yeah, he is?
Yeah.
What does he grow?
A little older each year. Tell me, are you going to keep making those gangster pictures over Warner Brothers with George Raft?
Yes. As a matter of fact, George Raft and I would like to have Skinny Ennis in our next picture with us.
Why? What good would Skinny Ennis be in a prison cell?
Well, we could pick the lock with him.
Well, I'll call Skinny over here and have him meet you. Hey, Skinny, come here.
Hiya, fellas.
Skinny, this is Humphrey Bogart.
Well, shut my mouth. Shut my mouth.
Be careful, Skin. This guy'll do it.
Hiya, Skinny.
Hiya, big shot. What do you have in the mob?
Get a load of public adrenaline, number one.
Oh, Bob, me and Bogey come from the same neck of the woods.
Is that so? Where were you born, Skin?
Nah, he wasn't born. A St. Bernard dug him up.
Yeah, hold on now. Maybe I don't look like so much on the surface. But, man, when you look a little further, you'll find I'm really nothing.
You did it. By the way, Skin, how's your girl?
Oh, she's getting awful hard to handle.
Now, listen, Skinny, I'll help you. There are two ways to handle a woman. Either you treat her very gently, or you treat her very rough.
Well, which is the better method?
Neither. Whichever you use, they still like a guy who owns a Cadillac.
Well, Skinny, you ought to handle your women like Humphrey does. Assert yourself.
I do. Only the other day, I looked my girl in the eye and I said, Woman, you're my woman. And you got to do exactly as I tell you.
Did that make an impression on her?
I guess so. She laughed so hard I fell off her lap.
Well, is your girl here tonight, Skin?
Yeah, Bob, I'll call her.
Hey, Magnolia.
Y'all.
Well, shut my mouth if it isn't Magnolia.
Oh, Mr. Howard, shut my mouth.
And this is Mr. Bogart.
Oh, shut my mouth.
And what a business I could do in zippers.
Oh, honest, are you the big bad man that's in the movie?
That's what they tell me, yep.
Well, shut my mouth and pull it way down over my chin.
I would, but I see somebody beat me to it.
Say, you better be careful what you say to her, Humphrey. Skinny worships the ground she crawled out of.
Are you really Humphrey Bogart? The rat who forces his attentions on girls and makes them kiss him and kiss him and kiss him and until the poor things are almost unconscious?
That's me.
See, Skinny, that's what I mean.
Oh, so you finally got around to speaking to me, huh?
I didn't mean to neglect you. How are you, honey lamb?
Oh, he's just fine.
How do you know?
He's using my blood today.
Hey, isn't Mr. Bogart a tough-looking guy?
Oh, he's not too tough.
Oh, no?
No. I dare you to knock this chip off my shoulder.
Magnolia, let me down.
Oh, gosh, Mr. Bogart. I wish Skinny could kiss like you.
Oh, well, what's wrong with Skinny? Does he give you the fatherly kiss or the brotherly kiss or the real sweetheart's kiss?
Well, I don't know. Which is the one where I have to bend down and pick him up after it's all over?
You see, Skinny's the weaker type. I'll show you how to kiss her, Skinny. Come here, dame, and throw your arms around me.
I will not.
Oh, no, I'll show you who's boss around here. That'll show you. Now let me down.
Thank you, Humphrey Bogart, and he'll be back with us in a few minutes, folks. Take it, Skin.
Keep your thumbs up. What's an elegant way to greet a new day that comes up? Just keep your thumbs up. Don't be Humpty Dumpty when you take a fall. Pull yourself together and climb back again on the wall with thumbs up. That's a very good sign that everything's fine and dandy. So come what may today, raise your voice and shout. You may be down, but you'll never be out of luck if you keep your thumbs up. That everything's fine and dandy. So come what may today, raise your voice and shout. You may be down, but you'll never be out of luck if you keep your thumbs up.
Thumbs up, sing and keep your thumbs up.
That was Skinny Edis singing Thumbs Up. Boy, wasn't that a swell solo, Bill?
Oh, no, that wasn't a solo, Bob. That was a duet by me and Skinny.
Duet? I didn't hear your voice, Bill.
Oh, I don't sing. I just hold Skinny up to the microphone.
Yeah, you stop kidding me, Bill Goodwin. I'm getting sick and tired of this. I got a good mind to wail into you and just tear you apart, you hear me? I'll tear you apart. Man, I got to lay off some double malted.
Well, now, take it easy, Skin, and you stick to those double malted, too. Anytime you can get double value, that's money in the bank. Look at the new Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush. There's a good example. And Art Baker's the man who can prove it.
Yes, the new Pepsodent toothbrush has 50 tufts of marvelous DuPont Fibrex bristles. Twice as many in a small, compact head as in any other brush. You know what that means? Double the number of tufts, double cleansing power.
You see, the bristles in the new Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush are gentler. They're kinder to your gums. They don't have to be stiff and harsh because they depend on union for their strength. 50 Tufts united for strength, yet gentle for a better feel in your mouth.
You don't have to break in this brush at the expense of tender gums. No, sir. You just open the sanitary glass tube it comes packed in. You grasp that handsome, form-fitting, colored handle. You add Pepsodent tooth powder, and then you have the grandest feeling, the most thoroughly effective tooth-cleaning combination in the world. So get a new Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush tonight at your favorite store. It's the same price as ordinary brushes, just 50 cents. But what a whale of a difference in the results you get.
Get a Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush tonight.
Well, Bogey, here we are in this prison cell. Steel bars all around us, 14 feet of concrete in the walls. 200 guards outside with submachine guns, handcuffs on our wrists, and a steel ball and chain on each of our feet.
Yeah, pal. You know something?
What?
I think they got us.
Well, I don't like it here.
It's your own fault that you're in jail, trying to spend that phony dollar bill that your brother made.
Well, gee whiz, no one would have known it was counterfeit. Only brother is such a sentimentalist.
Yeah, but it was the first time I ever saw a dollar bill with George Washington dressed as a June bride.
Gee, I wish we could escape.
Yeah, so do I. Say, you broke out of this jail once, didn't you?
Yeah, but they caught me all on account of that big searchlight.
Well, did they flash the searchlight on you when you went over the wall?
Yeah, and like a dope, I took a bow.
Gee, you know this prison is off.
Yeah! I can't stand it, I tell you. I can't stand it. Every day, bread and water, bread and water, bread and water. I can't stand it.
Well, why not?
Well, gee whiz, can't I have just one piece of Melba toast?
Say, listen, Bogey. We got to get out of here. My trustworthy pal, Professor Cologne, is going to help us escape. I think he's on the outside now.
Hope. Hope. Yes. Are you locked in the cell? Steel bars all around? Manacled hand and foot?
That's right, Cologne.
What do you do when you have a bite?
Hey, Professor. Hey, Professor. Have you got the tools to help us escape?
Yes, I'm baking them in a cake right now. I better see if my cake is done. I'll pitch it. Hostess cake.
Cologne, hurry and get us out of here.
Listen, Hope, why are you so anxious to get out of jail?
Well, since I've been in jail, I've been hearing queer rumors. I hear that someone's trying to get my job with Pepsodent, and someone's been making calls to Shanghai on my phone and throwing wild parties at my house, and that someone's been taking my girl out every night.
Ah, yes. I've been a busy little bee, haven't I?
Oh, Cologne, you go to my head.
No, I was there yesterday and there was nobody home.
Bogey, Cologne will never get us out of here. We got to make the best of it. Gee, all we got is one pack of cigarettes.
How long are we in for?
99 years.
You think we need some more cigarettes?
No, these are the slower burning kind. You know, Humphrey, my dear old Ma was supposed to come and visit me here today. Gee, I hope she can make it. It's a long walk from her cell.
Hello, son.
Oh, hello, Ma. Why, Mother, let me look at you. Is your hair turning gray?
No, I just had a big beer with a lot of foam on it.
Hey, why didn't you bring Junior with you? I don't see him around anymore.
No, the parole board picked up his option.
Say, Ma, how's Paul?
They hung him a few days ago.
Oh, well, I thought they hung him last Thursday.
They did, but they cut him down so they could hear Rudy Vallee.
Did they hang him right after that?
Yep. Him and Rudy signed off at the same time. And I'm signing too. So long, son.
So long, Ma. So long.
So long.
Oh, the last mile. It's terrible, that last mile. Oh, that last mile. Gee,
Is he going to be electrocuted?
No, he went for a drive on Decoration Day.
Hey, fellas, I'll be with you in a minute. But first, I'm going to do a good deed. I'm rescuing someone right from the electric chair.
Kelowna, don't try to rescue anyone from the electric chair. The current may be on.
It's all right. I'll just grab him out quick. Well, I always wanted to see how I'd look with my head up.
Hey, Bob.
Yep.
Hey, Bob, what's going on in the next cell there?
Why, they're giving the third degree to Mendel the mug.
I won't talk. Ouch! I won't tell you. Ouch! I won't tell you.
Gee, that guy must have a pretty important secret.
Yeah, he knows all the words to the Huts Hut song.
Oh, my. Here I am, fellas, and drink is my curse. You know, I've had so many martinis, I'm breaking out in small olives.
Hey, Andy Knox, what are you doing here?
What am I doing? Well, how do you like that? They put me in jail for being drunk. Me, who's absolutely sober. Sober with a capital stove.
You're sober?
Sure I am, but they're giving me the drinker's test, see?
The drinker's test?
Yeah, I got to sit at one end of the table, and at the other end of the table is a bottle of scotch. Now, I've been sitting there all afternoon, and the question is whether I went over and took a drink or not.
I see.
Yes, sir, that's the question. And that's the answer.
Say, come here. Say, Canadian Club, what are you in jail for?
Oh, I gotta confess, Mr. Hope, I did a terrible thing. A horrible thing. I killed a midget.
You killed a midget?
Yes.
That's an awful thing to do. How'd you kill him?
Oh, the poor little fella. When I think of his eyes, he drowned. He did. It was my fault, too.
Well, how was it your fault?
Well, there was a fly in my beer, and just kidding, I told him it was the seaplane for Hawaii.
Bob, I don't know why they let drunks in this jail.
Neither do I. Why don't they stay in their cars where they belong?
Say, Hope, still in jail?
Yes.
Tight little script, isn't it?
Come on, Kelowna. How are you going to get us out of this jail?
Well, I'm up above you on the roof. I shall drop a rope down past your window. Then the three of us will slide down the rope when I count three.
Let me get this straight, Kelowna. You're up there on the roof. You're going to drop a rope down past our window. Then the three of us will slide down the rope when you count three.
That's right. Ready? One. Two, three.
Kelowna, what happened? We all fell down. Even the rope fell down. Didn't you have the rope tied securely?
Sure, look. It's still around my waist.
Good night to all who tune our humor hall. Our thanks for dialing in. The cast and crew all send their best to you. Till next time that we begin. Thanks, Humphrey Bogart. Your art with a villain's part held us from the start. To the end. Use Pepsodent, folks. It's him.
I should stick to the Hut Hut song. Next Tuesday night, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be broadcasting from La Jolla, California. We're all going down to Camp Callan and entertain the boys of the Coast Artillery. And boy, we're going to have Birth of the Blues. Mary Martin will be with us to sing for the boys. And believe me, they'll like Mary Martin down there. So until next week, this is
Bob Hope.
Yes, sir.
And Bob, I understand next week, by the way, next Monday, in fact, you'll be on the Lux Radio Theater with Carol Lombard.
Yeah, we're
going
to do Mr. and Mrs. Smith for old Cecil B. DeMille. I think we'll have a lot of fun here.
Wonderful, Bob.
Good night.
This is Bill Goodman speaking for President. It's the National Broadcasting Company.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.